Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 8, Text number 41, entitled From the Prayers by Queen Kunti. Ata vivesha visvatman visvamurte svakeshu me sneha pashan imam chindi dridam pandu suvishnisu. Ata. Therefore, Vishva Isha, O Lord of the universe. Vishva Atman, O soul of the universe. Vishvamurti, O personality of the universal form. Svakeshu, unto my own kinsmen. May, my, sneha pasham, tie of all affection. Imam, this, chindi, cut off, dridam, deep, pandushu, for the Pandavas, Vishnisu, for the Vishnis also. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. O Lord of the universe, soul of the universe, O personality of the form of the universe, please, therefore, sever my tie of affection for my kinsmen, the Pandavas, and the Vrishnis. A pure devotee of the Lord is ashamed to ask anything in self-interest from the Lord. But the householders are sometimes obliged to ask favors from the Lord, being bound by the tie of family affection. Srimati Kunti Devi was conscious of this fact, and therefore she prayed to the Lord to cut off the affectionate tie from her own kinsmen, the Pandavas and the Vrishnis. The Pandavas are her own sons, and the Vrishnis are the members of her paternal family. Krishna was equally related to both the families. Both the families required the Lord's help because both were dependent devotees of the Lord. Srimati Kunti Devi wished Sri Krishna to remain with her sons, the Pandavas, but by his doing so, her paternal house would be bereft of the benefit. All these partialities troubled the mind of Kunti, and therefore she desired to cut off the affectionate tie. A pure devotee cuts off the limited ties of affection for his family and widens his activities of devotional service for all forgotten souls. The typical example is the band of six Goswamis who follow the path of Lord Chaitanya. All of them belong to the most enlightened and cultured rich families of the higher castes, but for the benefit of the mass of population, they left their comfortable homes and became mendicants. Cut off all family affection means to broaden the field of activities. Without doing this, no one can be qualified as a Brahmin, a king, a public leader, or a devotee of the Lord. The personality of Godhead as the ideal king showed this by example. Sri Ramachandra cut off a tie of affection for his beloved wife to manifest the qualities of an ideal king. Such personalities as a Brahmin, a devotee, a king, or a public leader must be very broad-minded in discharging their respective duties. Srimati Kunti Devi was conscious of this fact, and being weak, she prayed to be free from such bondage of family affection. The Lord is addressed here as the Lord of the universe, or the Lord of the universal mind, indicating his all-powerful ability to cut the hard knot of family affection. Therefore, it is sometimes experienced. Be careful to stir it
very much.
Something is burning.
Just check.
Therefore, it is sometimes experienced that the Lord, out of his special affinity towards a weak devotee, breaks the family affection by force or circumstances arranged by his all-powerful energy. By doing so, he causes the devotee to become completely dependent on him and thus clears the path for his going back to Godhead. So you have all chosen a very troublesome path by coming to Krishna consciousness. Because you all have affection for your families, and yet you have chosen to develop affection for Krishna. Srila Rupa Goswami has composed one verse that if you hanker for the affection of family, friendship, and society, please don't go to the bank of the Jamuna River, because you may happen to see a very charming young cowherd boy there who is playing on his flute. In other words, the idea here is that Krishna is so attractive that once we come into association with him, by one means or another, we will lose our attraction for everything else. The poet Vidyapati has composed a poem which says that our heart is now like a great desert. Just like we are in El Paso and we were flying here, I noticed it is all desert. There's nothing here. So Vidyapati says that our heart is more dry than such a desert like El Paso. And the happiness that we can gain from family and friends and society is as useful as putting drops of water on a desert and trying to hope that something will grow. Unless we flood a desert, inundate it with so much water, nothing will grow. So we should understand that the pleasure which we derive, no matter how nice it may appear from family members and others, will not really satisfy our heart. And that is why we have come to Krishna consciousness, because we were not satisfied. The problem is that the nature of love in this world is not really an act of giving, but it is more selfish and full of taking. So what appears to be loving relationships with family members is more or less a struggle between them to take from each other. And therefore, we don't feel as if we are really gaining or getting anything. It may seem like they are giving. They're giving us Christmas gifts. You see, they will give us so many nice things. But there is a huge price tag on all of this. Actually, there is some degree of love within every living being in all of the acts that they perform, even the family members. But it is not perfect. It is not free from selfish motive. There's always some thought of return. It's very unlikely that if you totally ignore your family, that they will go on continuing to be affectionate. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has composed a verse, being in the mood of Srimati Radharani, saying to Krishna, "My dear Lord, even if you neglect me by your embrace," that means to say, even if you are not present before me, "still I will go on being your maidservant forever and ever and ever." In other words, unconditionally, we should understand that a pure devotee unconditionally serves Krishna without any thought of return. Because, as Krishna has expressed to the gopis, "There's no way that I can repay all that you are doing for me. What you have done for me in terms of your detachment no ordinary persons would do. The gopis, they did not consider public opinion, which went against them. They did not consider the request of their fathers, their husbands, or the needs of anyone. Some of them even had children. But they were prepared to give up everything for the satisfaction of Krishna. This is love. All great devotees of the Lord are placed into a position where their love will be tested. Because it is only when the love is tested that it becomes stronger. So, Bali Maharaj, for example, is such a great devotee because he was prepared to give up everything. In his case, he gave up a materialistic guru. His guru advised him not to surrender everything unto Vishnu, and Bali Maharaj therefore rejected him. So a devotee is prepared to do anything and give up everything for the pleasure of Krishna. Now here we see that Kunti Devi, the mother of the Pandavas, is even saying that she wants to have her tie of affection for her kinsman cut off. Now how do we explain this? How do we explain that she is praying that even my attachment for Yudhisthira, my son Yudhisthira, my son Bhima, my son Arjuna should be cut off? Can anyone say what they think about this? We pray for the association of the Lord's pure devotees. Why did Srimati Kunti Devi say such a thing? Yeah, I think so. Her desire was so strong for exclusive devotion. This is a sign of great advancement. Actually, the gopis are considered to be the best of all the devotees because of this quality of exclusive devotion. Kavala Bhakti. There's no other thought. The queens in Dwarka, who are in a similar position to the gopis, they also have conjugal relationship with Krishna, but they're not ekanishta. They're not fixed on one point. They're called bahunista. That is to say, they have affection for their sons, they have affection for their other family members, but not the gopis. They gave up every single consideration, and therefore they are praised as the best of all devotees. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and all the great acharyas in our line have appreciated that there is no better devotion than the gopis' devotion for Krishna. And they desire to follow in the footsteps of such gopis. Uddhava, the great Yadu minister, he prayed that he wanted to become a creeper. He wanted to somehow be a plant growing, and Brahma prayed like this also, a plant growing in Braja on the outskirts of Vrindavan so that the dust from the feet of the gopis would come on his head. So we should be very sober in terms of our associating with those who are near and dear to us, and realize that unless they help us in our Krishna consciousness, that their association is not really desirable. Srila Rupa Goswami has given us an advice about worldly association in the Nectar of Instruction. He clearly indicates that we should be prepared to give up the association of non-devotees. Unfortunately, we have this family affection based upon the idea that I am the body, my parents are the source of my birth, and therefore I should be affectionate. One time I asked Srila Prabhupada, do I owe something to my parents? He said, only if you want to make them an object of your affection, of your mercy. Bhakti Srup Damodar Maharaj was serving Srila Prabhupada in the final year, and a very close family member, perhaps it was his grandfather, some very close member, passed away, and he asked if he should go to the ceremony to, you know, for a funeral ceremony. And Prabhupada said no. So, gradually we have to wind up these obligations. Of course, as it says here, in the grihastha life, these obligations are difficult to avoid. A sannyasi has no social obligations whatsoever. A brahmachari or brahmacharini has also less social obligations. Although you are, you know, brahmacharinis are still really in household life in one level, in the sense that they still relate with their parents and others. But once one gets married and has children of one's own, there are so many difficult, deep attachments. We heard from Radha Vinoda Indranila, once that baby was born, Indranila said, I never could imagine that I would be so attached to anything. She said, I'm more attached to this baby than to my own life. Can you imagine such a thing? Heidi says, no. But one day you may experience the same maya, illusion. Yet we have to overcome all of these attachments. When the gopis still had some connection like this, they could not join in Radha and Krishna's pastimes. There are so many different gopis. Not all of them are of the same degree. Because in terms of our progress in spiritual life, we are called sadhakas. We're doing sadhana bhakti. And only when we go to the stage of love for Krishna, how can we enter into Krishna's pastimes? First, we go to a universe where Krishna is appearing. And if we have not yet totally developed perfect love, then if we are in the bodies of gopis, then those gopis may have to get married and they may have to get children. But the eternal gopis, Nitya Siddha gopis, like Lalita Devi, Vishakha Devi, they never actually get, they only appear to have husbands, but they have no contact with such husbands. They have never had children. So those who had children, Krishna doesn't let them yet come. But they start to hear from the other gopis about the wonderful qualities of Krishna, the wonderful pastimes that the gopis are enjoying with Krishna, and gradually they become mad. In the sense of not angry mad, but they become so much allured and attracted that they give up all concern for their family. And in this condition, the love pulls them to such a degree that they are drawn to be with Radha and Krishna. And once this takes place, then they lose all connection whatsoever with their families. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says they become like mad women. And they cannot even recognize practically their identification with the family. So, this is a very high stage of love, Krishna Prema. We want that Krishna Prema. We pray to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that he came to give this Krishna Prema. And therefore we are engaging in our particular activities of Sankirtan to get this Krishna Prema. Two reasons. To get Krishna Prema and to give mercy to the fallen souls. These are the two reasons. There are nice prayers composed by Kavi Kanapur, Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami. He says the three reasons for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance are to experience the love of Srimati Radharani, the happiness that she enjoys by experiencing this love and the qualities in Krishna that attract her to so much. On the other hand, we have another verse by Kavi Kanapur, which describes the other reasons for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance. He describes Vairagya Vidya Nija Bhakti Yoga. He says that the instructions of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are meant to teach us renunciation, knowledge, and devotion to the Lord. So, these are connected. Unless we develop detachment, then we will not have the ability to preach strongly and to persecute Krishna consciousness strongly. This point is made by Srila Prabhupada in the purport. If we feel too much attachment to our body and the things connected to the body, we won't be willing to sacrifice for the benefit of others. After all, we are not simply related to this body. Just like 1 or 2 years ago, we may not have met. So we thought we have family connections and so many other connections. But now, since we have met, we think that this connection is so much more important, and it is eternal. We think, I never wanted to end. We cannot imagine that it will end. Our relationship with our spiritual master, relationship with God brothers, God sisters, we cannot ever imagine that it will end. So this comes about by knowledge and detachment. With knowledge, you gain the strength to become detached. You start to understand, I'm not my body. This birth with these parents is, after all, an apparent reality, but it's not any more real than the foam on the waves of an ocean or the clouds in the sky. And this type of knowledge makes me more detached. At the same time, we get knowledge of Krishna. And what does that do? It makes me attached to Krishna. So our process is simultaneously a positive one and a negative one. We negate those things which are temporary, and we affirm those things which are real or permanent. And all of this leads us to the point of rendering service, and that is bhakti. And bhakti takes more and more direction under the guidance of Krishna's devotee. Just like you were doing sankirtan, but because Mother Kamalini has come, your sankirtan improves in so many ways, because your consciousness improves. Because sankirtan is also an act of consciousness. It's not just a temporary activity of going out or a material activity with material abilities that you can execute. It has to do so much more with what is the consciousness, what is in your heart. If your consciousness is elevated through the strong sadhana in the morning, and if your understanding of sankirtan is very deep, and you can actually feel compassionate, seeing that people are suffering without Krishna, that will give you the inspiration to do very nicely in sankirtan. Actually, one Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu and our spiritual masters to take control of us, to use us as a tool for the mission of redeeming the conditioned souls. So we pray to them. We pray that I'm your willing maidservant. So you please now use me. Take control of my words, take control of my thoughts, take control of my senses, and you use them as if they're your own, to do your business, because I have no other reason to be out here today. So we should be in a very prayerful mood. Sankirtan allows us to pray in the best way, jivadoya, to give mercy to the conditioned souls. And the best mercy of all is this transcendental knowledge in the form of these books. Srila Prabhupada's association, the association of all of the acharyas who Srila Prabhupada's purport summarize, the association of great liberated personalities who appear within these pages of these books, and ultimately the association of Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. How fortunate these people are. They went to a Kmart, They went to a Walmart with so many mundane desires in their heart, and they were tricked. But this shows that after all, bhakti comes by the mercy of the devotees. You can't earn the right for bhakti. Well, what right have they earned? After all, what right have they really earned? The only right they earned is they took birth in the Kali Yuga. They took birth in a planet where Srila Prabhupada has appeared. That's their right. Their fortune is that they have come at the right time to the right place. But the ultimate fact is that the mercy of all of you, the Sankirtan devotees, is their real fortune. It is their best right of all. It's what's made them have the chance to begin their devotional life. So somehow or other, we should plead with them. Don't let a single meeting go by without trying to engage each person in some devotional service. Because it's for their good. You should understand that. We're not going out there with any personal motive of our own. We want to somehow connect them. Somehow they should be connected and get one of these books. Then their devotional life will begin. So all of this prayer, deep prayer, becomes so much easier if we're very, very attached to the order of Krishna coming through the Guru Parampara. If that absorbs our entire energy, if it's not being drawn away by other considerations, family attachments, etc., then our meditation will be much more fixed, much more connected with Krishna. So Kunti Devi, although she may not appear to be doing Sankirtan at a Walmart, but she's simply showing us the same method of praying. She's telling us that don't become distracted. I don't want anything to distract me, even my pure devotee sons. Krishna, I just want to be absorbed in thinking of you. So we should take the inspiration from seeing Srimati Kunti Devi's mood and try to make it our mood as well. Now we'll give some time for questions. Bhakti and Stacy, you can ask the first question.
When you go out and just a lot of times I feel like, you know, I don't think about, you know, I just think about that, you know, that I want to give them the books, but I don't think about the meaning of why I want to give them the books. You know, like I'm not thinking about books, you know, Krishna consciousness.
That will come gradually. As you become more Krishna conscious yourself, as you yourself call upon your spiritual master, previous acharyas, Lord Chaitanya, Radha and Krishna, as you call upon them and take from them Krishna consciousness, so and you become more Krishna conscious, then naturally when you think about why you're going out, that thought will come. I'm going to give them Krishna consciousness. Now you may just think, I got to get them to take a book. But as you become more Krishna conscious yourself and you recover from your own material disease, then the idea of what you're giving will be much, much more apparent. And it will help you also more. You have to understand that the consciousness that we do Sankirtan in has a lot to do with our advancement in Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, we see sometimes people do Sankirtan very successfully in terms of numbers, but then they leave. So it has a lot to do with our consciousness. You have to work at developing the proper mood and consciousness when going on Sankirtan. That will not only bring you better results, but it will help you to advance more. Because after all, why are you doing Sankirtan? Also to make advancement. It's not as if Srila Prabhupada is indicating that we do a particular activity unless it's for the purpose of our advancement. Because that's the duty of the guru, to see that the disciple advances. So Srila Prabhupada understands that this is the best way for us to advance. But we have to do it properly. Just like chanting is not a mechanical activity. You can just chant 16 rounds but not with concentration, not with feeling. But that's not real chanting. Similarly, real sankirtan is more than only just physically passing out books. It's the act of giving loving, you know, devotion to the activity yourself and transmitting that mood of love to those you meet. Because by the means in which you distribute will influence how they take the book. And how they take the book will determine to some extent if they're going to read the book. So all of it has to do with the experience they have when they meet you. So you have to prepare yourself, fix yourself up early in the morning with very nice sadhana. Bhakti and Heidi. You have questions from before? Today you have a question? You can think about it if you don't. Do you have one? Francine.
Sometimes it's hard to think about that, like on the verge of faking and not faking. And I wonder, because I don't want to be too pushy.
You don't have to have this on cool. Put it on neutral temperature. Have you finished cooking?
Yeah.
Then you can turn it on. There's no more cooking? Is that better?
Yeah.
Sorry.
So, I'm not sure, should I pray more for them to really take?
Yes, you should pray more. No, you should pray very fervently. You see, if your mood is deeply prayerful, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Prabhupada said this in one letter, that Lord Chaitanya will influence the heart of those who you are distributing to take the book. You should pray to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to please help to make them want the books. He will hear your prayers, and He is the same Lord who is in their hearts. He's prepared to help you if you request Him, because after all, you're doing it on His bidding. Mother Kamala, any question?
Like I was telling Stacy, they also have your prayers, and just like in Geneva Mani, she so much is intent on getting your mercy, pleasing you. So in the same way, they can, I told them, just cash in on that mercy. You have such, you know, behind all of your prayers are His prayers.
Mm.
And so that gives you so much more of an opportunity.
I want so much for this party to be successful. It's the most, I meditate on this practically more than anything else. This party absorbs my thoughts when I'm away more than anything else in Dallas. I simply think how you can all become successful. So somehow if you become dedicated in this way and very prayerful, then I'll do everything I can from my side. Because I'm already praying to Krishna for all of you. Whatever the worth of my prayers are, I cannot say, but you have them. I can't say how valuable they are, but at least I can say you have them, for whatever they're worth. I pray that you all should dedicate some years to Sankirtan as Brahmacharinis. Then one day you can have nice husbands, like Mother Kamalini got a nice husband, but continue as she has been, to always be in a preaching mood. But Francine doesn't need to get a husband. She can have Krishna as her husband. She's past the stage of needing a husband. But she can keep her base. If she gets lonely, she can hold on to her base. Yeah.
Okay. So about this love, like you talked about in Geneva Mani saying once her baby came. I also wonder, because we're supposed to love Krishna, but when I had a baby too, I realized, wow, I don't love Krishna, because the affection for the baby was so great, or even we've had other love relationships perhaps. And the feeling in the heart is intoxicating, and totally absorbing, but why it's not like that for Krishna, even though it's pleasurable to serve Krishna and to hear about Krishna.
So we have to associate with more advanced devotees. And by associating with more advanced devotees, the loving affection for Krishna will be more quickly induced. The cause of our misfortune is that we don't get that association. Just like if you had Srila Prabhupada's association regularly, I suspect that you would have, by now, love for Krishna. But Prabhupada disappeared, and it's more difficult to reach out to him. Still, we can do so, but it takes so much more effort. So also, we have to reach out to those who are more advanced and associate with them and be open to their influence. Otherwise, it's very slow. Where does bhakti come from? It pours out of the heart of the devotee. So if we want to develop this bhakti or love for Krishna, we have to beg it from the devotees. To whatever degree they have it, we have to beg from them. That you have Krishna, Krishna is yours, please give him to me. So it's more difficult when we become more senior, because either we think, who will I go to beg such mercy from? The young bhaktins, they don't have any problem. Practically everyone that they see is more advanced than them. But we have the illusion of thinking now we're quite mature devotees, who will we beg from? But actually it's required. And the cause of our not making rapid enough advancement is this, that we find it difficult to gain the association which will nourish us. But because that's actually what brought us to the stage. And we're trying on our own efforts now, but it's slow. One's own efforts make it very slow. If it's true for them, so it's also true for us, that by getting mercy, that makes you much more rapidly advance. And we see in the prayers of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Narottam Das Thakur, they're just constantly praying for such mercy.
Also, it affords some feeling, because I'm always frustrated of not having feeling. But if there's any feeling, it's on sankirtan. There's that intensity and that prayer. And any love that I have felt, little glimmers, it's been there, out in the lives. But
you should always give your association to these girls. I request you that please do not identify with the Denver Temple, but just identify with these girls and consider them all to be your own. And just accept them that way and feel responsible for them and do everything you need to do to be with them and have them be with you, whatever is required. Because you have this mood, I want this mood to come in them also. And I don't think they can get it unless they're with you.
So in other words, we don't negate loving relationships.
Oh, no. That loving relationships are everything. Kunti Devi is saying like this, but her position is very, very elevated. We should understand that. And she has direct relationship with Krishna, and these are eternal. She may pray like this for our sake, but she's eternally the mother of the Pandavas. In the spiritual world, Kunti lives with the Pandavas. It's not that she's not a sadhaka like we are. So this prayer of hers is very much for our sake. And this is Leela. Her whole position is in Leela. She's part of the eternal entourage of Krishna. And her dealings with the Pandavas are all part of the eternal Leela of Krishna. It goes on again and again from universe to universe.